has Bibles, right? Because I'm going to ask you a question, and if you don't have a Bible, you may have a hard time answering. Let's start. One day, the group of students who was taking a class from the late nuclear physicist Albert Einstein, and this student decided that there is no God. And of course, professor heard that, so he asked them, how much knowledge they have among themselves to compare with all the knowledge around the world. They discussed, and because they are very smart young people, they're genius levels, and they decided, well, they all collectively as a class, they have about 5% of all the knowledge of the world among themselves, 5%. And, of course, professor kind of looked at him with a big smile on his face and said, I think you guys are a little too generous to yourself. However, let's say you have a 5% of all the knowledge around the world among yourselves, but have you ever thought that God is existing in 95% that you don't know? That's very possible. A lot of people say that there is no God. A lot of people say, well, they don't believe that God is speaking. We are what we are, that we are mortal and we are finite. We have an end. We try to understand, we try to comprehend the God who is immortal and infinite God. That is, in my opinion, plain joke. It's like an ant trying to comprehend the capability of MP3 that we just talked about, or E=mc². I don't understand that, other than it's a formula for the nuclear bomb. Maybe not. That much I know. So it is difficult for us to comprehend that kind of physics, and ant cannot comprehend that kind of thing. That's the kind of situation. We cannot comprehend God's infinite wisdom. Whatever he said is good. Whatever he said is the truth. As we are about to study the 50 chapters of Genesis throughout the entire year, you will face the most important thing today. We are going to cover a lot of areas. We are going to cover one verse of chapter 1 of Genesis. You think, well, just one verse? You're going to spend the entire 35 minutes on one verse? Yes, I can spend another 35 minutes after this. But I will spare you. It is that important for us to understand this one verse. Otherwise, the rest of the Bible cannot be understood. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We acknowledge that you are infinite God and you know all things. You are the owner of the universe. You created heavens and earth and everything in between. Holy Father, we are asking your guidance and you are asking your wisdom to be upon us that we may understand your word according to your way, those that we may get to know you intimately. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into the text, we have to understand a few things about Bible, his word. Bible does not elaborate about who God is and how he created heaven and earth. He's not trying to argue with us that it is him who the creator is. And he's not trying to tell us he is existing. He just simply states the fact in the Bible, and that's it. Some people said that Jabin McGee, who is a well-known preacher from yesteryear, he died, but his voice still carries on. He's through the Bible's commentary is a wonderful study. If you have it, it will be really helpful to you. He said, God speak, I believe it, that settles it. However, I disagree respectfully with Jabin McGee. God says it, that settles it. I don't have to believe it. Because truth remains no matter what truth as the truth, whether we believe or not. God is not taking a vote. If that's the case, God lost long ago. Because there are more unbelievers around the world in human history than believers. So he's not arguing with us to that he is existing, that or he is the creator of the universe. So let's start at the Romans chapter 1, verse 20, please. Keep your finger in Genesis 1, 1, and we'll go to Romans. Romans is located right after the book of Acts, right before 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Romans 1. Romans 1:20, it says, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. By simply looking at the creation of the universe, we should understand his existence and his masterful craftsmanship of the universe without any doubt. But we choose to argue with him. It is not him, as I said, it is not him who is arguing his point. We are the one with our puny brain. Many people argue that there are too many different versions of the Bible. Have you ever heard that argument, that kind of excuse? There are too many different versions of the Bible, and so that's the reason why they cannot trust the Bible. What they're saying is that they're just plainly say that they are admitting that they are ignorant. Number one, they haven't read the Bible to say that kind of thing. Different versions of the Bible are, meaning-wise, they are all the same. It's a different way to speak with the same content. Some of you guys have the King James, New King James, New American Standard Version, and the Revised Standard Version, and New International Version, Living Translation. Good for you. Don't just shove that version to somebody else's throat. It works for you? Fine. In our church, we are using New King James because the majority of Calvary Chapel uses New King James Version. So for the benefit of the, in case you moved from one church to another church, it will be easy to adopt that way. Personally, I prefer New International Version because it speaks to me a whole lot easier than New King James. And some scholar will say New International Version has some of the noun and some of the pronoun is not correct. Well, I'm not a scholar, so I don't think I have to go that deep to understand the Word of God, just simply to follow the Word of God. We are not going to go there for the different versions, which one is better, which one is not better. I can tell you this much. The best version is the one you understand, as long as it's the Holy Bible. We'll stop there. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. We come to the Bible knowing that the copies of the manuscript from the Old Testament is carefully copied. Yes, the original version is inspired by the Holy Spirit. However, when you copy it from the generation to generation, there was a possible mistakes. There's some difference in the numbers of the people or the tribe's name. However, it's originally all correct. And the manuscript for the New Testament, you will be surprised how many manuscript is cross-checked and double-cross-checked. Let's go back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is manuscript. Many of them is found in the Dead Sea, around the Dead Sea. See this cave right there? One that's located in Qumran. It's near the Dead Sea. That's the cave number 4. That's where they found a bunch of Dead Sea scrolls. And when they cross-checked this manuscript, a lot of the Elijah and Isaiah and a couple of Jeremiah, those books, been found, manuscript has been found from there. And they compare with it, Septuagint Greek manuscript, they all line up correctly. For the New Testament, when they cross-checked, and there's only one and one thousandth portion of the New Testament are in question, not incorrect, in question. So Old Testament and New Testament preserved correctly and for a length of time. Probably these two, Old Testament and New Testament, are the most old and ancient document and accurate document that ever preserved. Then we have to understand why the Genesis is important. Let me put it this way. Genesis is holding the mainline doctrine for all the doctrine we are going to study throughout the entire Bible. 66 books and 40 different authors wrote this book. However, this book itself is holding all the answers and the origin of the doctrines. Genesis is the word itself is known as origin. It is assignment done correctly, and because the Genesis is holding all the doctrine foundation, it gives about other things. Also, it talks about such as justification, redemption, sin of man, and Jesus Christ, and the personality and personhood of God, and kingdom of God, and the fall of mankind, Israel, and promise of Messiah. Is that the only one that mentioned in the Genesis? No, there are a whole lot more, like origin of the universe, and the order, and the complexity, and the solar system, and atmosphere, and the hydrosphere, and the origin of life, and man, and marriage, evil, language, government, culture, nation, and religions are mentioned. Genesis is important in the New Testament too. 165 times it's been directly quoted by the Jesus and the other apostles. It's that important. The only proper way to understand the Genesis, get this guys, no interpretation at all. Don't try to analyze, don't try to make an allegorical understanding of Genesis. Just take it as is. It's a historical book, take it as is. The only way we can ever find out about who God is through the Genesis. Because, again, it's the basic things. Who created the universe? It will be spoken from the book of Genesis from verse 1. We know the Bible is not a book of science. However, where the science is mentioned, it speaks the truth. Many archaeologists, while I was in Israel, I found many different sites of archaeology, and all of them is finding what the Bible already explained, Bible already stated. If everything around is, including ourselves, is a random by chance, there is only one law that we should follow. Do you know what that is? Survival of the fittest. If it's a random chance. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, underline that thing for me, please. I will explain a little more later. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. This is the most important verse in the Bible. You know why? If you don't accept that God created heaven and earth, rest of the Bible should be trashed. You understand me? This is the most important thing. God is the one who created the entire universe, no one else. It's not by chance. It's not Big Bang Theory. It's not some wood coming out from goo and happening this way. That's what our children were taught in the school. Young people, if your school teacher tells you you came out from the ape, don't believe it. You are created by God. School teachers often teach this, liberal school teachers teach that the people came out from the ape. They have no ground to support it. I will go through each one of them. So let's think about this word God. The word God is in Hebrew is Elohim. Grammatically, the Elohim should be plural. And all the noun and all the verb and pronoun should be in plural. However, the pronoun and the verb in Hebrew that support Elohim is singular. This is the base of a lot of Bible scholars think that this is the base for the Trinity. One person, one God, three person. How does it work? Can you explain to me? No, I cannot. If you can understand it, if you can explain it, you're far better than I am. And I haven't found anyone who can explain Trinity completely. This is where we come with faith. We believe. Throughout the Bible, we understand there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are one God and three persons. The simple fact that God's creation is the more amazing when you consider the greatness of the universe. Would you put the galaxy, please? Thank you. Galaxy. The galaxy we are in is, the solar system is in, is one of the many galaxies. Can you see, sorry, there's it right there in Green Valley next to it? You mean you cannot see it there? Oh, guys, come on. Galaxy is kind of we are in the Milky Way. It's kind of big pinwheels. It spins around. From one end to another end, it coming full rotation will take about 250 million years. And there are billions of stars within the galaxy, this one particular galaxy. And there are many galaxies throughout the universe. From average distance between one galaxy to another galaxy is about 200 million trillion miles. So, gentlemen, start your engine of your Pinto, Ford Pinto, and start going. It will take about a couple trillion years to get there, if you can afford a gas nowadays. The closest galaxy from our Milky Way is the Andromeda galaxy, about 12 million trillion miles away. How big God is? He said he can hold the entire universe in the palm of his hand. Yet, he is so small, he can come into my heart and your heart if you are born again Christian. Amen. Try to comprehend that God. Not this new age fake God. Our God is awesome God. Genesis shows us the origin of the universe. And this is a great way to understand how big, the vast our God is. Let's go to Isaiah 48:13, please. Isaiah 48:13. Isaiah is located right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Verse 13. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation. This is my hand, means God's hand, foundation of the earth. And my right hand has stretched out the heavens. And when I call to them, they stand up together. How many of you guys heard the astronomers, the scientists say, universe is still expanding? It's true. He is the one who is expanded thing. All right. To understand the creation of God, we have to understand what the evolution is all about. Evolution, the whole idea of evolution, is a kind of joke. If God created heaven and earth, there must forever prohibit anything that happened by chance. Okay, chance merely describes a statistical probability. Chance does not have any power. Chance does not do anything. Do you understand me? Let's say here's a coin. And you're wondering, what kind of coin is that big? I'm not going to tell you. Here's a head, here's a tail. If I flip this and catch it, what's the odds for it lands on the head? What? 50%. What's the other side land on tail? 50%. Simple as that. Does chance got to anything got to do with this thing? No. The way I flip, what's the strength I flip, what's the air current, and what's the happening up there, and when it comes down, I grab it. However, I flip it. whatever land here will be on the bottom. Correct? So if what if I just landed like this, then it, all of a sudden the other side will not be there. Chance has nothing to do with this. It's everything to do with, chance is describing probability. Here, James. Anyone who believed chance, anyone believed that it happens with the Big Bang Theory, they are either extremely ignorant or superstitious, or they are repeating the line they heard. And without thinking, they are accepting it. Let's see what the renowned evolutionists talk about their own evolution theory. Let's start with Dr. Robert Micklem. He says, the pathetic things that we have scientists that are trying to prove the evolution, which no scientist can ever prove. He's a Nobel Prize winner, and he's a renowned evolutionist. If that's not bad enough, let's talk about what the Darwin's black box says. Lynn Margulis is a distinguished university professor of the biology of the University of Massachusetts. At one of her many public speaking, she asked the molecular biologists in the audience to name one single ambiguous example of a formation of the new species by the accumulation of a mutation. Her challenge is unmet. You guys understand what that means, right? I have no idea. I think I got the meaning. That means there's no mutation to happen and the change has not been made. Gerald Osmond, and he's a PhD physicist, and he's specialized in radiocarbon dating. This is what he said. It is possible, and given the flaw, the probable, the material which gave the radiocarbon dates of tens and thousands of years of radiocarbon years could have been true age of many fewer calendar years. In other words, their carbon dating is not true. He's the first one admitting. Why continues to do it? We'll talk about the thing later. Next one, evolutionist Edmundo M. Rose says, we have to admit that there is nothing in the geological records that runs contrary to the view of the conservative creationist. He's the one admitting that there's nothing wrong with the creation fact. Pierre Paul de Grassi, he's another evolutionist, says no matter how numerous they may be, the mutation do not produce any kind of evolution. So folks, if you believe X-Men cartoon, X-Men the movie, you are in the wrong side. Do you know what the main reason why these profound scientists who are extremely intelligent denying the creation of God and they're standing against the creation of God? You know what the problem is? There's a five-letter word, pride. Pride gets in the way between God and them, the accepting creation by the Jesus Christ. So they are willing to take the place to go to hell because of their pride. Let's go to James 4:17, please. James 4:17. Am I making sense to you so far? Did I lose you guys? Okay, good. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows, James 4:17, James is right after Hebrews. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do, what does it say? It is sin. They know what to do. They know what they're supposed to receive. They know what's supposed to accept. Yet, they are not following. To make my point, let's hear great comment from the Dr. George Wall. He is a professor emeritus in biology at Harvard University. There are only two possibilities as how the life arose. One is spontaneous generation rising to evolution. The other is a supernatural creative act of God. There is no third possibility, spontaneous generation, that life arose from the non-living matter was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by the Louis Pasteur and the others. That leaves us with any possible conclusion that life arose from as a supernatural creative act of God. Then he went on to say, I will not accept philosophically because I do not want to believe in God. How sad. Because he doesn't want to believe in God, because he doesn't want to be submissive to God, he rather stand and believe stupid things. And he continues, therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution. I think that's good. I think I'm making my point. Just in case you feel that that is not good enough, I have one more for you. The founder of the evolution theory, Charles Darwin. Let's see what he says. Not one change of species into another on the record, we cannot prove that a single species has been changed. From his own mouth, his life, and his letter, that's a book he wrote. And at the later part of his life. All right. In our days, there is a group of theologians who is embracing the different kinds of theology, known as a theistic evolution. How many of you guys heard that? Theistic evolution. Theistic evolution is a kind of marriage between creation and evolution. These people don't want to be called as ignorant people by the world intellect, so they want to rub their elbow with this worldly intelligent people. At the same time, they want to carry this Bible under their arm and known as reverend. So they embrace this thing. Theistic evolution is that they said, well, God is the one who created this oo and goo stuff, and then God used the time and the mutation possibility. Problem with this theory is most unreasonable, most illogical theory ever found. Either you believe in creation or you believe in evolution, not in between. Either you stand up for God or you deny God. There's nothing in between. Either you are for God, you are against God. That's what Jesus said. There's no gray area. That goes back to our life, guys. Either you believe God or you deny God. Either you are for God or you stand with Satan. Let's go back to the verse 1, chapter 1, Genesis. You thought I was joking. I'm going to cover one verse. I wasn't joking. In the beginning, God, underline created, please, the heaven and the earth. The word created in the Hebrew word is bara, B-A-R-A. This has a specific meaning. This is creating out of nothing. Folks, you guys know that I have a trade. I'm a graphic designer. You might say, well, you create another design. We often use that word create. However, man's creation is not the creation out of nothing. We imitate, we fashion, or we form the things out of existing things. There's a tremendous difference between God's creation and our idea of creation. God does something out of nothing. We use something from the something. There's a joke about this. A group of scientists came to the presence of God after they came up with this DNA development, and they decided they can challenge God. See if they can stand toe-to-toe with God. So they came to the presence of God, and they said, God, I know you created heaven and earth, and we can do the same thing. Why don't we race and have a contest, see who can do a better job and faster? God answered them with a twinkle in his eyes, okay, we'll do that. Why don't we start with making a human? And the scientist said, sure, that's easy. So they scooped down to the ground and grabbed a handful of dirt. And God said, uh-uh, you get your own dirt. They have to make a dirt from the beginning. But nobody can do that. See, that's the difference. God created dirt out of nothing. God created human out of nothing. How many of you guys remember Biosphere 2? What a joke that was. $1 million of money went into it. It's nothing more than propaganda of the New Age movement. They think they can survive in that little greenhouse. What did they do? They cheat and lie, and they open the door, side door, bring the stuff in to survive. And they ran out of air, so they have to open the top hatch. Wow, impressive. Let's go back to the verse 1. Can you tell I'm a little bit obnoxious? Verse 1, in the beginning, God. And some of you are thinking, aren't you ever going to stop? No, I've just started, okay? In the beginning, God, underline that portion, please. In the beginning, God, created heaven and earth. From what we just read, in the beginning, God, do you feel that it's like even the Bible says in the beginning, God was there before the beginning. So that cannot be really beginning. Are you with me so far? So in other words, either God is out of the timeline we use called beginning and the end, or this beginning is not really beginning. Exactly. To God, time does not exist. He is overriding any time zone. That's why we have a first dimension, second dimension, mass in the same space. And then when it's going to the space, it's third dimension. When you add a time, that's fourth dimension. However, God is in the fifth dimension. He is overriding time and mass and height. He is not limited by time zone. So he can say easily before the beginning. Let's go to Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. So we kind of have to ask ourselves, if that's the case, who created God? Where did God come from? Psalm 90, 1 and 2. Kind of explain to us a little bit. Again, this is puny brain, we're trying to understand infinite God. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in our generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you have formed the earth and the world. Even from the everlasting to everlasting, you are God. To God, beginning is nothing. Before beginning, he was there. God is infinite. God is the eternal, unchangeable spirit. He's a perfect being. In whom all things begin and continues and ends. Before the beginning, God had a specific plan for these eternal things. Many different aspects have been revealed through here. Number one I find is a mission of Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You can find that in cross-reference verse 1 Peter 1:20. A mystery of God's Gospel of Jesus Christ foreordained before the ages, 1 Corinthians 2:7. The grace given unto us was given before the world began, 2 Timothy 1:9. And the believers of Jesus Christ were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. That means you guys who are born again Christian, guess what? Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. How about that kind of thought that God know you firsthand? Intimately. Okay. Before the beginning of the mankind, before the beginning of the creation, we have to notice one thing. That God created angels. How do I know? Let's go to Job 38, please. Job 38, not Job's. Job 38, right before Psalm. Job 38, verse 7. Are you guys falling asleep? Stay awake. Don't snore too loud. You might wake up other people. 38, verse 7. When the morning star sang together, All the sons of God shout for joy. When he created heaven and earth and those stars, angels were there to witness, to praise him. Let's make two applications. Number one, we must accept the creation by God in faith. We must accept creation by God in faith. Even the science cannot tell us how something can be made out of nothing. God is apparently did in just that way. And man today cannot tell when this was created. So don't even try to comprehend scientifically. You just believe. And some of you might say, well, that's blind faith. If I may probe that blind faith, next time you get in the plane, you better know about the pilot, right? Are you going to trust the pilot whom you don't know from the atom? You're going to get into that aluminum can and expect that the pilot's going to take you from one end to another end? How do you know he's not going to do some funny things? He might decide, instead of using the runway, I might use that grass place. Instead of heading for the wind, maybe I'll go with the wind. That will go well. You're taking blind faith every day. Do you know how the car works? Most of us don't understand how the car works. I can tell you where the tire is. That's as far as it goes when it comes to cars. We don't know a lot of things. Taking Tylenol when you have a headache. Do you know how that thing works? You don't. But you believe the commercial on TV. That's a blind faith. How do you know that can make you have something different? If you're willing to believe the TV commercial, if you're willing to believe the captain of the airplane, and you don't know, you don't even know the captain's name most of the time, but you're willing to trust, why not trust God who is almighty and so infinite, an immortal, invisible, only wise God. Hebrews 11:3, please. Don't close your Bible yet. Hebrews, look at it right before James, way in the back. By the way, guys, if you don't know the sequence of the index of the Bible books, I do recommend you to memorize the 66 books, the sequence. It's very helpful for you to find the books. 11:3. By faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made out of that which are visible. Second application. We must reject evolution theory. I never call it evolution fact. It's evolution theory. I think we went over it quite well. We must reject evolution theory because it rejects God and it rejects the whole course of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot believe Big Bang theory. You cannot believe that you came out from oo. That's a full of garbage. You cannot prove one thing. Even the evolution scientists disagree with their own theory, but their pride gets in the way. It denies the fall of man and the fact of sin, and it opposes the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and I do not believe with anything or with all the money in the world. Either you believe God or you believe evolution. If you believe evolution, you are with Satan. Let's stand up and pray.